Anything post Chocolate Factory, I don't take responsibility for. Hello, humans. Welcome to the 10th episode of Audio Face.
We're not dead. Hi, I'm Sean.
We made it this far. I keep saying fucking we made it. This is not even the right podcast. Oh, well.
Well.
Sad day.
Sad day.
I'm already this far in. This is the 10th episode of Audio Face, and we've got a lot of news to make up for the fact that there really wasn't a lot last week.
Jesus Christ, so, there's a lot.
Let's start with the top story. Hey. Justin Bieber got banned in China.
Yeah, let's start with the light stuff first. Yeah, he got banned from a country. That's pretty cool.
So, there's a lot of interesting Chinese things happening in the news.
Oh my god, I popped up the article you put, and I see his hair.
Justin Bieber still rocking the lesbian look. He's killing it. No, but so outside of the music realm, there's been a lot of stuff going on with, like, China lately as far as their attitudes towards the West. They recently banned Winnie the Pooh because there's like a...
Wait, what?
There's a really dumb Chinese meme that showed like the president of China walking aside Barack Obama. And it was a picture of Winnie the Pooh and like Tigger right next to them. For some reason, like, I guess it did look similar. I'll put the picture in the show notes so like the viewers can actually see what we're talking about. But let me pull that up for you really fast.
Like, is it really? Oh my god.
Yeah. Well, while you're talking about that, can you go a little bit into like what the article says, like why he was banned?
It's, yeah, in order to maintain order in the Chinese market and purify Chinese performance environment.
That's horseshit, right?
So basically his image of him being a professional buffoon bite him in the ass for once. But, I mean, he's not going to make that much money in China.
Okay, you're burying the lead. The statement is amazing. Oh, we hope that this comes from the Beijing Municipal Bureau of Culture.
Which is the government's telling you to F off, basically.
Wow. They have a Bureau of Culture.
That's different.
The Ministry of Culture.
Ministry of Magic. Ministry of Culture.
We hope that this is a quote from a statement from the Bureau of Culture. Quote, we hope that as Justin Bieber matures, don't hold your breath on that, folks. He can continue to improve his own words and actions and truly become a singer beloved by the public. I mean, can I just have, like, a really fire take on this? Like, Justin Bieber was, like, the pretty boy singer. Like, honestly, he could have been, like, one of those, like, East Asian pop stars if he weren't white. He was the pretty boy singer up until, like, he decided to start shaving his hair and acting like Miley Cyrus.
And then get neck tattoos that say patience on it.
That's really... You know what? They should let Justin Bieber into China just so he gets like one of those Chinese tattoos. Just they can put something stupid on his face. Convince Justin Bieber to get a face tattoo and
this
put,
is
like,
asshole
put like wiener on his face. Like, that would be hilarious.
So apparently they also put restrictions on Oasis, Jay-Z, Miley Cyrus, and Bjork. I don't know why on Bjork. Well, Bjork is kind of crazy, but...
On Oasis? So they're going against Britpop. They're going against Jay's... Whatever. Miley Cyrus... Okay, fair.
Bjork?
Let me make the obvious take that everyone's going to make. Oh, they're lucky that they no longer have to listen to Miley Cyrus. Ha 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 ha. Oh, whatever. But I guess that's interesting that they... I don't know what standard they have. Because there's not a lot that Oasis, Jay-Z, Miley Cyrus, Bjork, and Justin Bieber have in common.
So, no, not really, honestly.
Like, it just seems like a random grab bag of what was, like, moderately relevant in the 10s. Or, like, the early 10s, I guess. But... Whatever, that's China can do that. Also, here's the picture I was talking about earlier.
Okay,
and
that
so this became
really funny.
This became like a Chinese, and again, I'll post this in the description of the
dump.
Yeah, but this is like a meme that was going on in China, and yeah, apparently the Ministry of Culture or someone went after that too.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's just like, so yeah, he got banned. That's hilarious.
One less country that has to deal with Justin Bieber. That's all right. Tourism to China is probably going to soar through the roof. I wonder what happens if you play on the radio there.
But I don't think they can breathe in China yet, so, because, you know.
Speaking of Sean getting himself in trouble, Chester Bennington. Sadly, Chester Bennington, singer of Linkin Park and frontman, passed away via suicide, according to the police. He was 41 years old, and he was at his, like, Los Angeles residence somewhere in, like...
PV.
Palos Verdes. Palos Verdes, right. Yeah, that was on Thursday. And that's just really tragic, especially because he sang Hallelujah at Chris Cornell's funeral, and apparently Chris Cornell was close. Of course, Chris Cornell also recently committed suicide.
Yeah, about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And they were very close and everything, so it's just pitiful. Really sad.
It's just so weird. I was reading an NME interview where it was talking about Chester Bennington's mood around mental health, and he says, I'm quoting him, "My whole life I've just felt a little off. I find myself getting into these patterns of behaviors and thought, especially when I'm stuck up here in my head. I like to say that this is like a bad neighborhood that I should not go walking alone. Most of these problems are problems that I cause myself," and that's what this song is about. And he was referring to some song he was being interviewed about, probably from the newest Linkin Park album, which you can go back to hear what we thought about the last Linkin Park album a couple episodes back. And we didn't really like it that much, but nevertheless, it's just always sad to kind of hear these sort of things.
Yeah, I mean, Linkin Park's early stuff, I think I said that when we were reviewing the album, is really good. You know, their late 90s, early 2000s stuff, it's prime Linkin Park. They were really good, and it's sad to to hear him basically do the same thing that...
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened back
Chris
in
Cornell.
The day. Chris Cornell. Yeah. Blanking on names. Yeah. It's kind of shocked the music world and everything, too. This is really out of the blue again. And then it just kind of felt like a really, really somber mood for just so many musicians.
A lot of people.
So many musicians.
A lot of people take so much, influence and inspiration from these figures who, die so tragically. And it seems to happen so commonly in the music industry. It's really kind of...
Well, because to me, it's music is a really interesting place, because artists, are very troubled a lot of the times. That's why they produce music, is to try to relieve some of that pain and everything in them. So, I mean, that's happened throughout the history of music.
Right.
Since the dawn of it, really.
It's a shame that
you've had overdoses in the past,
But music isn't, for me, when I'm, going through bouts of depression, expressing myself is kind of a way to stave it off, because you have a way for it to vent off.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the idea.
But it's kind of upsetting, I guess, that even though these people have this way to vent it off, it isn't enough for them sometimes.
No, so yeah, it depends on the person and how, if you're dealing with mental illness, or if you're dealing with other issues and whatnot, it all depends how it affects you. It affects people, some people more than it does others, and that's kind of a case of that. I mean, we don't know much or anything, it just happened on Thursday, so 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And the industry is still kind of recovering from it,
Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't realize just how many artists really looked up to him and everything. So
no, yeah, voices just pouring out.
Because for Chris Cornell, it was one thing, but this one seems on a whole new level. Because I think they had a bigger audience and stuff too than Soundgarden and I can think of the other band. But yeah, it's just really sad.
Yeah.
Sort of very tragic,
Yeah.
I hope it's this wave of sadness stuff can kind of go away,
What? Yeah. Let's hope the waves of sadness can go away. That's the best we can...
I mean, because look at other people who have dealt with mental illness. I mean, as we always state, our favorite band, my favorite band is Radiohead. Tom York has gone through ridiculous bouts of depression and everything, but he seems to somehow figure it out, in his own way.
Yeah.
But, everybody deals with it on their own. So,
yeah.
In their own accord. And it depends if he's taking different medication and other things. I mean, there's just so much.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, and then there's a lot of people who have said different things about it.
Yeah.
So.
Going really fast, I just want to, this event and, other events, in the music business where people are, kind of committing suicide reminded me to just even though I've had experiences with suicide in the past, and to me it's something I can almost kind of joke about and take lightly, that I'm kind of just not comfortable having a podcast where we talk about this all the time and we're constantly talking about people should kill themselves. So kind of an apology for that on my part, and I'm gonna curb that in the future, at least for this podcast. I'm kind of in general, because what I don't want to do, and Sean, I'm sure you feel the same way
with
that.
Yeah, of course.
Because what you don't want to do is be like Korn's guitarist Brian Welch.
Oh, this is terrible. Honestly,
precisely what the fuck you shouldn't say.
This is awful. Like, so yeah, Brian Welch, guitarist of Korn, went off on, was it on Facebook or something?
Yeah. So, it's always people get themselves in trouble on Facebook for some dumb reason. Also, for some reason, if you're picking up like water dripping in the background, that's just because we have a washer going off, and I didn't know if that would pick up by the sound, but we're professionals.
It probably is, so sorry if you hear a waterfall.
Wait,
going
be silent
off
for
right
a
now.
Second?
Let's see.
No, it's not too bad.
Okay,
so...
It'd just be a relaxing waterfall right now, guys, as we dive into...
Don't go chasing waterfalls. Okay, this is just... That loosened me up. That's grammar. For lighting into Korn's guitarist, Brian Welch, which, like,
Jesus.
I like Korn. It's pretty good. But
to a point, yeah. I mean, I liked it when I was younger. When I was more into that stuff.
He made a Facebook post.
Okay,
let me just
Facebook.
Read it all out loud,
yeah,
real
have
fast,
at it.
And then Sean, you can respond really fast to your take, and then I'll have mine. So it's a Facebook post that, in response to Chester Bennington's death, honestly, quoting now, honestly, Chester's an old friend who we've hung with many times, and I have friends who are extremely close to him. But this is pissing me off. How can these guys send this message to their kids and fans? I'm sick of this suicide shit. I've battled depression and mental illness, and I'm trying to be sympathetic, but it's hard when you're pissed. Enough is enough. Giving up on your kids, family, and life is the cowardly way out. I'm sorry, I know meds and or alcohol may have been involved. I'm just processing like all of us, and I know we are all having some of the same thoughts or feelings. Lord, take Chester in your hands, and please... Lord, take Chester in your arms, and please reunite him with his family and all of us one day. Be with his wife and kids, with your grace during this difficult time.
I understand. It's the stages of grief or whatever you call it, because you know some people react to it differently, where they get really angry or they get really sad and whatnot. He obviously did the angry version, but when it comes to suicide, don't. If you have anger or whatnot, please don't say it, because that's not the best thing to do. It's kind of rough. Not a good look. When you sent me that link.
I sent you a screenshot
of the
post. And
of
I
the
was
post,
like,
I go, oh my
I'm gonna
God.
I'm going to light this guy up.
This, like, it's such a terrible thing to say, because think of what his family and everything is going through, and you don't want to make it anything worse, plus for the fans and just the whole, like, all the people
like,
around you, you know?
I don't mean to be pedantic, but anytime you're talking about a subject, and then you're talking about it, and you start with a nicety, and then say, but, you should really
way,
fucking stop.
As said in Game of Thrones, anything before but is bullshit. And this is a prime example of anything before but is bullshit.
Everyone, please start watching Game of Thrones to get your life lessons.
Yes. And this is a perfect example of that.
That's actually very impressive and topical. Great job working in all of that magic. No, but...
Thank you, sir.
Jesus fucking Christ. Okay, so as someone who is like, I've attempted suicide before, this is... It really pisses me off, this idea that people who attempt suicide are weak, or like they're making a bad decision. Like, I don't endorse suicide, nor would I say it's a good decision, but like, to... When you have someone who has, like, battling with depression and mental illness, first off, he said that, oh, I've battled with it, why can't you suck it up? Everyone's battle struggle is fucking different. Like,
yeah.
Everyone goes through different things and has different experiences, so just because, like, you can handle something doesn't mean someone else can. It's not like most physical injuries where it's like, oh, it's the common cold. You're, like, in bed all day and I'm still doing things. Like, even though we're all, like, human beings, our bodies are all genetically slight variations.
Your brains are all different.
Yeah, and so, like, not everyone's going to be equipped or have the capability or have the same brain chemistry to handle the same thing. So, like, to say I can do it, so are you, just shows this enormous amount of ignorance that not only Brian Welch has, not to apologize for him, but, like, a lot of people
especially surrounding
mental illness.
Yeah, that's a big thing, and it's been more...
And, like...
People are more aware of it now.
The last thing, people who kill themselves are not fucking cowards. Everyone get that through your head, okay? It's not that they're afraid of things. A lot of times, like, I don't know what Chester Bennington was exactly going through, but speaking from experience and speaking from people I've talked to, it's because you feel like you're a burden to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that, again, it's a mental illness, but in that warped sense of thinking, you feel like you're helping other people. You feel like you're doing the right thing because, like...
You feel like you're doing a service
yeah,
in your own way.
Not to generalize all suicidal people, but that's what I have gathered anecdotally, that's what a lot of people kind of take from it. And so it's not a cowardly way to go out. And stop, what do you gain from, no one's going to stop killing themselves or like stop thoughts of suicide because you say, oh, if you do it, you're a coward.
Yeah.
Or if you do it, you're being weak. Yeah, please tell suicidal people that they're being weak and cowardly while they're, like, struggling from times of need. Like, Brian Welch needs to fucking get his head out of his ass and, like, fucking look at himself in the mirror and think about the ramifications of his actions and how dumb his, like, thoughts really are. Like, okay, that's pretty much it.
Dan's overheated over here.
I'm fucking done. I have, like, no fucking patience for people like this at all who, like, are purposely ignorant. And it's like, okay, here's my soapbox. I'm going to have my little opinion about this. And it's, like, uninformed and dumb. It's what's fucking wrong with this entire country? Nine Inch Nails has a new EP called...
Yeah, so let's get into Musica.
Let's please get off of that before I...
Yeah, so go to music. There's been a lot...
Stupid fucking face.
There's a lot of new music out there.
Right, so yeah, now we're going to get into... We're going to sprinkle it in. We've got some other news stories, but we have a lot of just, like, pure music reviews to go through. So Nine Inch Nails has a new EP called Ad Violence.
It's actually really good. I'm surprised.
Yeah, so
I like it a lot.
Full disclosure, I'll speak for myself, but I think it's the same for you. Nine Inch Nails is something I never super got into. They're a group I never really got into.
No, I mean, kind
of them.
It's kind of getting around, you know?
Yeah, heard a couple of songs, liked them a little bit. They've been around for a while.
Precisely.
And, like, my thinking of Nine Inch Nails is kind of like, older 2008 Nine Inch Nails, it's a lot like kind of heavy rock, not heavy rock, but like definitely rock, but they've definitely taken on this like sort of synthesizer based alternative thing.
Yeah, I mean, they've done some things before a bit more heavier rock, and then lately they've been doing more synthesizer stuff, but not the crap, which we'll get into later, not the pop snare drum synth crap. This is like,
I compare it to like Plastic Beach synth,
you know, or even like some New Order-y
stuff.
Like that's how the first song of the EP, which is Less Than, kind of sounds like a New Order song.
Yeah,
in a way, but but their own take, you know, not a straight rip from like,
not a copy,
not like straight from an 87 or something. It's,
right,
it's their own version, and it's good. I like it. It's good for electronic alternative music. If that's a genre now, because I swear to God, that's every damn week there's something new with an alternative artist trying to.
What was the genre you just said?
It's like, I was like, electronic alternative music.
I mean, that's
like,
pretty much.
I mean, if that makes any sense, because that's where a lot of alternative is changing to. So this is a good representation of what it can be, and it's good. I like that. So
I liked it a lot too. My favorite off of the album was probably This Isn't the Place. I just like how like kind of soft and groovy it was, but like it just has that like not overstated synth style, and it doesn't sound overbearing, but like it's just nice to listen to, and I'm really pleasantly surprised by this EP. It's pretty good, I would say. I didn't really do much research into this, sorry, what Nine Inch Nails' future is gonna be, if they're gonna like make a longer form kind of thing after this. I think their last big album was Hesitation Marks in 2013, if I'm not wrong. I'm not going to really check anyways. But it's been a while since they've come out with a full thing. And if they come out with something like this, A, I would love to hear it. And B, I would love to hear it live. Because a lot of artists that take this sort of like synthesizer direction, their live performance is a little different. Because it's something that's very heavily produced. And
yeah,
so,
you have a good point for that, actually. Like, look at Atoms for Peace. When they released their album in 2013, very heavy...
Good year.
2013 was a good year.
No, it wasn't. I hated that year.
No. I was it for Musica.
Yeah, it was just decent.
Like,
no 2016. No 2017 even, but...
No, 2016 is the year of music. 2017's okay. It's getting better. 2016 was just, like, the entire year. But anyways, with Atoms for Peace doing... Like, their studio album was very electronic, and then their live version was completely different, and it sounded so cool. That's what I'm thinking, like, along the lines of that.
Yeah.
If you feel me.
I hope so, because a lot of times, live version... Like, I would like to see a live version, like, them do music like this live, but in a way where they rework it for live, kind of like we were saying. rather than some bands I've seen, which basically just had a play button on their songs and pretend to perform on this.
Yeah, and it's kind of rough.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's an electronic music thing. You get a little more leeway there because it's pure electronic, but I would expect more from Nine Inch Nails.
Like, yeah, because EDM has a problem with that where it's like, click play.
Yeah, click play, jump around.
And it sounds exactly the same because there's no mixing involved.
Move knobs.
Yeah, they fake move knobs. They're not doing anything. There are artists, though, that do things on the boards, which is kind of rare, but there are people that mix their own stuff and it sounds good, but, you know, that's a problem with electronics right now.
Can we go to our next
episode?
Segment?
Let's go to the next one, which is...
Introducing a new segment I'd like to include on every episode of
Really?
I'm kidding. But I'd like to make a segment called Ed Sheeran's a Bitch.
Yeah, let's make that a daily thing.
Just make that a weekly segment called Ed Sheeran's a Bitch. So this week in our weekly segment that we may never do again, Ed Sheeran quit... So Ed Sheeran, he did an appearance on Game of Thrones, speaking of.
Mm-hmm.
A really, like, kind of tiny cameo appearance. I don't know how important his role is going to be later in the season. I kind of hope it's not. I hope it's just a quick little thing. Without giving too many spoilers, one of the characters, like, one of the characters you've kind of been following for most of the show, encounters Ed Sheeran's character, and they, like, kind of camp out for a night, along with a couple of other, like, warriors similarly around. And he's singing some song, and it's like, oh God, Ed Sheeran's there. And Ed Sheeran, people just kind of love to hate.
Love to love.
Or hate to love. I'm not sure. He quits Twitter just because he gets a lot of hate all the time. It's happened after the Game of Thrones thing came on, although he claims that he wanted to quit way before the game. He wanted to quit a couple days before. Sorry. He was planning to delete his Twitter account before the Game of Thrones appearance aired, right?
Okay, and then probably, and then the whole thing, he's like, I gotta get out.
Like, after seeing all that backlash, he pulled the shit.
Yeah, I gotta go. You put the handbrake, your car flips over, and you bail out of that car.
But,
like GTA, and then it should be wasted.
I don't have any sympathy. Like, on the one hand, yeah, I will be the first to tell you that the internet's filled with assholes, and it's 2017, and
yeah,
really
you
kind of
deal with that on a daily basis. So
Ed Sheeran would not be the first proponent of Twitter improving its tools so that it's harder to harass people on the social media platform, because it is very easy to
way too easy.
It's very easy and common to harass and troll
spam
people
the hell
on Twitter.
Out of people.
Twitter's made a lot of, like, half-hearted suggestions, like, that a partnership where they're like, we're gonna fight against cyberbullying after Gamergate and everything, and then that really didn't happen at all. So I guess Twitter could do better, but at the same time, dude, if you can't take the heat, stay out of the kitchen. Like, if you're gonna be famous, you're gonna get shit. And at least you're not, like, a woman on the internet, okay? You're a white dude on the internet. Yeah, you kind of lose points because you're a white ginger on the internet, and you're gonna get, like... You're going to get shit for that, because
Jesus
that's just
Christ.
The way the internet works. These are not my opinions.
I know.
I'm just saying, if I'm like a 4chan troll, I'm going to be like, how can I make fun of this guy? He's pudgy, he's a ginger, and he has glasses. Right? Like...
Yeah, pretty much.
That's how these, like, trolls work. And, like, Ed Sheeran, I want you to realize, ultimately, that a lot of people just like to give you shit. Let's keep in mind that, as we're going to talk later, your album's, like, the best-selling album of the year still. Like, whether it deserves it or not, your Shape of You song is, like, still playing everywhere to the point where it's annoying.
Pretty
You're killing
much.
It. You're bawling. You should not care about what Twitter eggs have to say about you.
Twitter eggs, yeah. That's it. They have a freaking... Yeah, it's... Bleh.
Like...
If I can speak. Like, how do English words go? Yeah, it's more of... good and bad, to the point where it's like, okay, cool, people are, you know, realizing that I don't want to deal with trolls anymore, or, you know, they don't want to have to deal with it, so they just quit it. But altogether, it could be good and bad.
Yeah,
you know,
Ed Sheeran, like, I would say just get a little bit thicker skin, or just get friendly with your block button.
Honestly, yeah, because I know people that do the same thing, where they do live thingies and they're like, oh, we'll just go block, and that's it.
Yeah,
it's pretty simple. But some again, it's we talked about earlier. So every brain is different. Some people handle it differently than others. Some are very self-conscious and everything.
I think,
you know,
we still need to realize, like, we're the generation that grew up with the internet. We're talking about people who are older than us who didn't. So you just need to realize that there's this whole new dynamic where
I guess, in the real world, honestly.
I mean, like, in the real world, if people, like, bully you, like, A, it doesn't happen that much because you have to have the threat of, like, physical harm coming to you. Because, I mean, talk shit, get hit. If you do that in
chat
real life.
Chat shit, get banged.
Exactly, right?
And Jason Vardy.
But on the internet, there are no... Think about this on, like, a social or economic way, where there's no repercussions for sending out dumb shit on the internet.
Yeah.
In fact, some would argue you could even become president by doing that. But no politics. You can, like, there's no repercussions for being stupid on the internet. There's no repercussions for being an asshole to other people on the internet. Very rarely there are. And
no,
so,
because you can hide behind the screen.
You can hide behind the blue Twitter egg, right? Mm-hmm. So,
and have some, like, really random generated username.
Yeah.
That 30 X's in
that's
it.
That's probably Russian. But, like, you can, like... On the internet, you just kind of have to deal with it, okay? Like, that's going to be a little part of it. As you get bigger, there's going to be more and more of those people, mm-hmm. and you can just totally ignore them because they're just as... they're extremely irrelevant. Have fucking 6 followers. Like, there's no point.
Anyways, enough of...
Yeah, okay, that's enough of my take on everything.
So, more musica.
Right, Foster People's
Who's the People?
New album. So, wait, can you explain something to me sort of quickly, and I'm sorry I didn't prepare you for this? I thought Foster the People had an album that came out earlier this year.
That EP.
That was just an EP.
EP, which, like, a lot of the few of the songs, or...
I can't even find that EP on Spotify anymore.
Really?
No, I can't. Which is, like, I was like, I know we talked about Foster the People, like, very early on. Because, like, very early on in Audioface, I mean. But...
Yeah, because the EP came out late May or early June, I believe. Leading up to an album. I didn't know there was supposed to be an album
that
came out.
It was late April.
Honestly. Was it late April? Was
yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right, because Doing It for the Money came out then. That makes sense.
And, well, I can see why they did it, because all the songs that were on that EP
are on the album.
Are on the album.
Yeah. So, that's where I'm going to do my take, because I said earlier
and you have
that
the,
I hated...
You have the most skin in the game because, but you have the most skin in the game because you... have listened to Foster the People a lot more than I have. All I can really
throughout
name is,
their entire music.
All I can really name is Pumped Up Kicks.
Because I like their music to a point. I like their older stuff and everything because my music taste is just, you know, very eclectic. But anyways.
Really fast, just to set the scene. So they released an album called Sacred Hearts Club. Mm-hmm. 12 songs in... Oh, their last song is like I 3, I guess. So the name of their EP. And so, yeah, go ahead.
So, I did not like their EP except for one song, which is SHC, I believe.
Why didn't you like it?
It was, going back to the earlier episodes of Audioface, it's that stupid fucking snare drum thing.
Trap snare.
Yeah, it's just of the... Yeah, and it's so overdone the past couple of years. And Foster the People was, you know, kind of a hipstery band, you know, before, or like... a bit more indie-ish band. Not too experimental, but they did some experimental stuff. And then this one, they just went sell out with their EP. And I'm like, oh my God, don't be Coldplay and sell out and be bullshit. Because I heard Doing It for the Money, and I had no idea it was them. Legit. I thought it was, shit, what's the guy's name? I can't think of what I said before in early Audioface.
Generic artist.
Just put insert generic artist here. And I'm like, wait, that's Foster the People? What the hell? That's not them. But anyways, so... With this album, they put all of their songs from that EP onto it, but then the rest of the album is actually not that bad. But the problem is it's so incoherent. It's weird, because I listen to it twice. So what I do with an album is I listen to it straight through once, and then I do it on shuffle, just so that way I can get a sense of... which songs I like, because then when I put it on the shuffle the next time, I'm like, ooh, this song's really good. It kind of stands out. And then also with that, you can kind of get the cohesion. How do English words good? Of the album. And this one is so all over the place, because you have that stupid snare drum, that stupid electronic beat that doesn't make sense, and then some, like, him trying to rap. You go, what the hell? And then it goes to more of their indie stuff, almost, with the album. And then some... one experiment, I can't think of the name of it, because I have to look it up, I have to listen to it to hear it, because there's 12 songs on the album, 11 asterisks, because one of them is just a minute.
I love how
and honestly, if it wasn't for it being so incoherent, it's not that bad of an album, considering. It was when you told me, oh wait, Foster People has a new album, I go, oh shit, is it going to be the whole thing? And it wasn't. It's just all of the songs from their EP, and I think there's two more that had that stupid snare thing, and it's just, it's so overdone, you know, and I hate it. But the rest of it isn't that bad.
I agree.
So if you listen to it, it's kind of all over the place. Like, there's no general mood of the album, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No.
Which is really strange.
I'm glad you said that, because I fully agree. Well, like, I agree to the extent that I know what you mean by the album lacking that cohesion. The album, like, to me, it sounds like two concepts kind of stuck together.
That's a good way to put it, actually.
Like, there's some songs that kind of sound like a classic but like new spin on Foster the People, and I would say those kind of lean to the beginning. Like, Doing It for the Money, for sure, kind of leans to the beginning of the album. All those new spin on Foster the People songs lean to the beginning of the album, is what I'm trying to say.
Pay the Man, Doing It for the Money are the first two tracks, which are that.
And then near the end, like you said, it kind of leans into this weird new sound that Foster the People is going for, which I will differ from you in the sense that I don't hate it totally, not being someone who, like, was super into Foster People, like, not being too opinionated on what Foster People should sound like. It doesn't sound awful, it just, knowing the rest of Foster People's discography, it just kind of sounds very not genuine.
Because, like, there's a few good songs on the album. Sit Next to Me isn't that bad. I have my headphone in my ear, just so that way I can get a sense of which song is which.
Professional.
Yeah. Like, and then the one I liked the most was on their three, which is SHC. And it stood out more in the album than their EP. Their EP, it kind of got overwashed from the other stuff.
Yeah.
And then, because what's really weird about this album is it just switched.
Right.
You know? Like, there are good songs on it, so sorry to take it from you, but...
I agree with you. It's just like, it just lacked a cohesive sort of meaning.
Yeah,
and that's what I really look for in an album. I look for an album to, like, be a piece from an artist that, like, goes together.
Yeah, and, like, song I Love My Friends sounds like old Foster of the People, you know? And it's so random. But there are good songs from it. So it's not a total flop, which is nice. Because I was worried there for a bit. I thought it was going to be, like...
Like a disaster.
Yeah, like, just all that snare drum,
like, crap. Early 10s Coldplay.
Yeah, pretty much, you know.
So I would say there are a couple songs on the album that are worth listening to, but I think what's worth listening to depends on your own musical preferences, speaking to the audience.
Yeah, really, it's your taste. I'd actually, honestly, like from before, we like recommend the album or don't recommend the album. This one I recommend just because I think there's something for everybody on the album. You're not going to like the whole, I don't think anyone's going to like it, the entire album. Maybe there will be a few, but that's going to be a very small minority. The big majority is going to like three or four songs of that. If you like, broadly speaking, for alternative music listeners.
Right.
That is something, you know, take a listen. There's some good songs on it. There's some that are really random, and there's some that are that stupid snare drum, but people do like it. I just think it's overdone.
Yeah.
And that's why I keep telling artists, change your sound, but keep it you. That's not you, because it started, I don't remember who the hell started it, but in like 2014, 2013, and now fucking everybody's doing it.
Yeah, and again, like, Calvin Harris is an example of someone who made a total pivot, and we talked about that a couple episodes ago. That
was wild. I did not expect that.
The album, all the songs work together. That pivot is, like, good and kind of true. You can kind of tell that, there was thought that went into that music. There was, like, real work and effort to make a cohesive piece to go into that album.
Yeah.
Even though Calvin Harris is, like, that's very different from anything he's ever done before. But he comes to that album knowing it's very different, but it works. So it's possible, but...
It's definitely possible, and I'm glad that Foster did this, because it shows that they are trying different things, so right. Which I applaud them for. Honestly, I'm
not a lot of artists actually do try different things,
and they didn't fully fail.
They didn't fully fail. Damning with faint praise.
That's saying a lot for me because I'm a huge critic of music. Because I am the pickiest person in the world when it comes to music.
It's almost as if you have a podcast where you talk about music.
Exactly, because I'm a pretentious asshole who thinks he knows everything about music
and wants to share it with the world. Let's go to Lana Del Rey's album "Lust for Life." Now, here's the thing,
Llama Del Rey.
So here's the thing. Sean and I are not white girls. So
sorry, Allie.
In case you didn't know, in case. This has been, I'm sorry if this was a shock to you all, but we're not white girls. So
we are multiracial, multicultural,
questionably
weird males.
Yeah, or questionable sexuality males.
I would say just or question mark because you know PC culture, but you know handbrake
with an X.
With an, yeah, I'm a male
we're
with an X.
We're mixed of color.
Yeah, I'm a male with an X at the A because you know feminists.
We're McSills. Okay, but before I really dig myself into a deep hole, Lana Del Rey's Lust for Life album. The reason I want to start on that is because, like, Lana Del Rey is the epitome of, like, the Coachella white girl. Like, the album cover has, like, flowers in her hair. It's like this...
It literally is.
Kind of like this love for retro 70s, 80s look. You probably love that because your people weren't getting shot constantly. And, like... There's this whole... So, her album came out, Lust for Life, and it's... If you like Lana Del Rey, it's gonna be good. And I usually start out my bad reviews by saying that. But honestly, I listen to the album, and it's, like, very soft, and I enjoy listening to it, honestly. Like, it's soft, easy listening music, and if you kind of let Lana Del Rey's public persona and character kind of step away from it...
Just and look at the music... And the musical aspect first.
Yeah, which is what Let's I try to do. I try to do the 75% with this podcast, because 75% is just the music, and then 25% is everything
what the
that goes
fuck are they
it.
Doing?
Yeah. But if you just take that away, no, it's a like really
a decent album,
artful,
right?
Like decent vocalist, decent production, like more than decent. It's
like,
good.
Expansive. I can't think. What would you call like right. Ethereal? Would be kind of a good word, because it's like...
Yeah, I go to Berkeley, and I don't know what that means.
Like, you know, like, that expansive thing, like cigarros, you know?
Yeah.
That
pleasant,
that type of sound.
Smelling, colorless, volatile liquid that is highly flammable. Sorry, ethereal. That's ether. Extremely delicate in a light way that seems too perfect for this world.
Yes, that's it. Is it like an ethereal sound?
Or having diethyl as ether as a solvent.
So it can either be a chemical
and today
or
on radio, today on Audio Face where we learn English.
Well, because that's, I can't think of the word of it, but that's what like you use to describe cigarettes and everything. And that's like, Lana's done
airy.
That. Airy. Yeah.
I wouldn't say this album's airy per se, because like airy in the most positive sense, I would use for an album that sounds like kind of light and flowy. And like kind of like... Not in a bad way, but, like, it's missing some sort of depth. But sometimes the lack of depth is okay because it kind of just plays into the instrumentation and the vocals. And that's not what this is. This is still, like, I guess, I don't know what even Americana is supposed to be because I've heard it so many different things described as Americana, but...
No, I don't want to ever use that label because that label is just too broad.
So broad and
it
so,
doesn't,
like
there's nothing that... You can put down as it.
I guess
you know?
I would say it's like some sort of like ode to American culture, I guess, which Lana Del Rey is. But do you have any other thoughts you want to add to that before I kind of continue?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, you know, like, so I just can't think of the word that I used to use to describe cigarettes, you know, where it's that style of slow build up and it leads around the vocals with instrumentation kind of wrapped around it. That's always been Lana, because I know I have one friend who really, really likes Lana. So I've listened to a lot of her music because there is some things where she changed her sound on one album. I can't think of it. And a lot of people didn't like it.
Was that Ultraviolence? Or I don't know.
I don't remember. Might have been. But then because her first stuff earlier was that. And then that's what this album kind of is. Because I just listened to it vaguely. Like a couple songs here. You listened to the whole thing, right?
Yeah,
you
know? I listened to the whole thing.
I listened to five songs, I believe.
And I have a larger overall take that I'm going to save for later because I think it. Behold, on Audio Face, we're going to have Lana Del Rey and Tyler the Creator in the same conversation. So buckle up. Work with me. But as for the music, which I'll stick to the music for this part of it, no, it's pretty good. I think if you like Lana Del Rey, you'll love it. I would still give it a try, even if you're not into Lana Del Rey, because I think it's a pretty inoffensive entry into her music. It's a good evolution from a lot of her work she's done before. I'll go into a little bit. There's some context to this album to where a lot of it is kind of this awakening she's had around culture and how she sees America a bit differently now than she used to.
Okay.
There was one performance where, like, she's holding an American flag while a bunch of guys are shooting guns around her in the desert, and, like, that's her, like, shtick, right? If you go to the article that's put in the rundown, Sean, should have a picture of that. Like, there's a lot of songs, like, for example, God Bless America and the Beautiful Woman in It is a song. When the World Was at War, We Kept Dancing. It's this tone shift that Lana Del Rey is having. It's, like, this awareness of a unstable kind of society. Which is definitely a tone shift versus like kind of.
Well, it's because when artists become more political aware when they used to not be, if that makes any sense.
Right.
Because some bands start off as political bands, you know, or like that's kind of their main thing.
Or they very early shape themselves into political bands. Muse
is one of those. Radiohead, obviously.
Muse another. To the point where it drones on, no pun intended.
No, yeah, that's where. You don't beat the drum with it like Muse. As much as I love Muse, sometimes I'm like, okay, we get it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be a bit overbearing.
Blah, 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 neoliberalism.
I mean, it ruins the world. Lana's like kind of woke up with it, you know? Woke culture.
Yeah. But
that's a whole thing on culture in general, honestly.
Yeah. And I'll continue this conversation a bit more
later,
when we talk about Tyler, the Creator, really fast.
Which pretty soon,
in a moment. But right before we do that, I just want to point out that Nielsen, the metrics company for everything, just came out with their, like, half-year metrics for 2017. And so we can see, like, what's doing the best, like, what artists are performing well, how streaming's working. But I think the big headline to come out of this is that the dominant genre in, like, U.S. music is far and away hip-hop and R&B. Now, I don't know if I fully agree with how you categorize those things, because I think hip-hop and R&B blend together, but there are some things that are R&B and some things that are hip-hop.
Yeah, but to me, it makes sense, because it's dominant.
To me, hip-hop and R&B still is an old, like, holdover from when people wanted to kind of say, this is black people music.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to say that out loud.
Yeah. It's like, you need to change the label as it, because it's too broad of a term, like Americana or other stuff, or even, honestly, alternative music.
Electronic.
Even electronic, because to me it should be, each genre should have at least three sub-genres that should be the main focal point, because like with electronic, there's
I could name house, and there are subgenres of house than I really even want to think about.
French
I could
house,
name
deep house,
trance, and there are subgenres of trance I even want to think about.
Yeah, and with hip hop and R&B, it's just as bad.
Yeah.
You have. I don't want to get into it.
You have hip hop. You have like trap. You have trap hop. You have like
gangster rap.
Yeah, you have indie rap. Like R&B, R&B can sound like so many different things, because it's all about like the vocals and the soul. Mm-hmm. You can put that on any type of music almost. Like, you can have R&B albums that sound straight like rock, but rock is the second place. I guess I shouldn't have said far and away, because 25.1% of like total album sales and streaming and all that stuff in America in 2017, first half, was hip-hop and R&B. That's 25.1%.
Not surprised.
Rock is 23%. Didn't get 23. And then pop is down at 13.4%. Thank God.
So, yeah, because a lot of my friends and whatnot, because as I always tell myself, I live in a musical bubble, because I'm extremely picky with what I listen to. But then I go out and then I hear what people listen to on the radio, what people put on Twitter.
What are the normals listening to?
What are the normals listening to? And that, the past, what? Let's say about 3, 4, 5 years or so, it's really shifted into hip-hop /R&B, whatever you want to call it, because that's what everybody knows now. Because people are like, oh, look, Drake released a new album. Oh, look, Kendrick Lamar released a new album. Like, how the hell do all these people listen to rap now? And that's just everybody. Just like, I'm talking general,
just
our
people. Yeah, well, like, not just our, well, I would say pretty much anyone under 40 which are, like, I would say the primary consumers of music,
yeah,
are talking about these artists, right?
And consistently the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Talking about these artists.
And you know what? It's a good genre. like I said, very broad. I kind of have questions with that. But again, like, rock, also a very broad thing.
Yeah.
I kind of just want to go down the list. Country's at 8%. Latin's at 5.7%. Electronic and dance, only at 4%. I wonder if that's going... I think that can only go up, but it's weird because...
It's still
electronic
small.
And dance are, like, permeating all of music, but the genre itself is still, I guess, low as far as album sales go. That could just be the cultures that, like, people
because,
don't...
Honestly, that's the culture because of albums. Because with electronic music, it's so hard to... Like, there's no...
Yeah.
For real albums.
Electronic music is more of an...
Mixes or...
Mixes.
EPs, yeah. If anything.
Things you go out to do. I guess mm-hmm. that's why I'm kind of sad that a lot of my favorite DJs don't have... Many of my favorite DJs don't have albums, but...
Like, look, like, when I stole my favorite DJ, which is Scream, which he used to be a... one of the pioneers of dubstep back in the late... Tens or
early
or,
aughts,
or, yeah, whatever you want to call
the
it.
Zeros,
the zeros,
2000s,
yeah, late 2000s, like early tens.
Mission accomplished.
You're like, oh, okay, does he release an album and everything? I'm like, not really. He did for dubstep, but for his DJing, you can't make an like. There's no really albums. Yeah. You have mixes that you put on SoundCloud. Like Junior Boys did one, which Bam sent me. Shout out to Bam from the We Made a Podcast. If you want to listen to all talks, soccer and football. Football. Fuck American football. That's hand egg. if you want to listen to people where they kick the ball with their foot and curl it in for a goal with both their feet, unlike Messi, who's one-footed, listen to We Made It podcast. They know what they're talking about.
You're NPRing the shit out of this. I love it.
This is NPR of Southern California. So...
Anyways,
There's no... So that's what makes sense for... The electronic scene to be a bit lower, but that's album sales because actually another thing why hip-hop/R&B is doing so well in that regard, considering album streams, downloads, and purchases, those motherfuckers drop so much music.
That's a good point.
So
I wasn't thinking
much
about.
Music,
like
content on content on content.
We're talking about our like favorite like. Alternative rock artists. From
they drop.
The aughts,
they
who, like,
drop
albums like, every couple years
yeah.
or so.
Radiohead had a span of 5 years between Keenan Limbs and Moonshaped Pool. I mean,
and then there's Goosey Man.
The goose is loose. Who? The goose is loose.
The goose is loose.
The goose is loose. Shit! I didn't even think of that.
Who's the juice? Because the goose is loose.
The juice is loose. The goose is loose. Man, world's turned upside down. I mean, how many damn albums has he put out even when he was locked up behind
There's a good chance he's working on 3 albums right now.
Easily. I mean, Kendrick Lamar releases one every damn year. Drake releases one every other year. It's like, this is like Assassin's Creed where you have a damn game every year. Like, what the hell? So that's why so many people are listening to it because there's just content, 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 content. You're getting a constant flow of it and you don't have to have maybe a year gap between good music. Like, kind of alternative music is some of the, like, they had a gap of... I'd say 15 to 16, there is kind of a gap of alternative music.
Right, yeah.
Now, 16, 17, there's been a whole content flow. But within that gap, hip-hop/R&B, which is super broad, is just content. Like, so much music has been dropping.
Do you think that the speed at which this hip-hop and R&B Nielsen genre, do you think the speed at which they pump out music and things, does that hurt the... Like, are you... Let me reword this. Because they produce music so quickly and constantly put out new albums, does that not give them enough time to change their sound or think about their sound? Or
well,
really
that's why I don't listen to it, because it all blends into one at one point. And because what happens is the industry for that, you'll get one major artist who will slightly change their sound and everybody else kind of follows. But note, but the general public... doesn't really catch on to it. They all say, oh, look, this is so dope. This is so cool. I'm like, yeah, cool. I've heard it before.
Right.
You know? And that's kind of the problem with it. And that's why I don't listen to it much. But it all starts to sound like crap. Like, look, mumble rap became a thing a couple years ago. And now everybody's, like, a lot of artists are doing that shit. And I go, why? It's so stupid. And then just with that amount of music that pops out, it's like Coldplay, the same thing.
Yeah.
That amount of music, it starts to just kind of all melt
blend together.
Blend together. And it's not, it's really not good for music to me because there's no innovation with it.
I love
it's just cloud pleasers.
I love that we've been able to have this conversation because I feel like now I can tell people why I sometimes get sick of electronic music or why I get sick of rap and like hip hop sometimes, even though I arguably am more sympathetic to these genres than you are. That's just because
you like it a bit more.
Yeah,
but
the recycle time is shorter. So it's not like you're sitting on and like thinking about how you're going to change your sound. You're just constantly pumping out music. And so you don't have a lot of time to ruminate on how you can improve. And like they do ruminate over time, but we get more albums in the meantime. So what ends up happening is that I would say Drake's albums from 4 years ago still sounds somewhat different than now. But the problem is we've had so many albums in between that like the steps are shorter. So everything kind of just blends together
that makes sense.
Really close.
You can't see the moves of an improvement really.
Yeah.
It's just like a steady, it's like a roller coaster. You don't feel the drop really. You know, it just keeps going up and up and up and up and up and up and up.
Yeah.
Because with other artists who don't drop as much music, but they make a big change, it's like a rolling hill.
There's more volatility, I guess, if that's a good word.
Yeah, I could see that. So
I want to continue, but I love this Nielsen report, so I want to go through some fun things.
Yeah, how about it?
The most played song on the radio, guess what? Shape of You by Ed Sheeran. Dude, you have the most played song on the radio. I think you can handle some Twitter eggs. But of course,
really?
That's kind of obvious.
He has... that's in the world or is that in the US?
US.
Really?
Yeah. Top 10 radio songs based on audience. So that was not maybe most played, but based on the audience. And I'm not sure how they have these metrics, but it's Nielsen, so they're the only ones who do.
Hold on, what song is that? Shape of You.
I'm in love with the shape of you. Push and pull like a magnet, dude. Like that one.
I fucking hate that song so much.
Oh, wow, y'all never hear me sing.
Wait.
That sucks. What?
Wait, does that have 1 billion listens?
That's 1 billion with a B, dude.
On Spotify?
No, that's like radio.
No.
No, that's 1 million, dude. It's 43 million. Oh, you're talking about that song? Oh, yeah,
That's a bill.
That's 1 billion with a B.
That's a bill. I'll say, are you high?
I was looking at that number.
No, that's another.
So, yeah, context. Ed Sheeran's Shape of You on Spotify has currently, at time of recording, 1,157,000,000.
I didn't know that was, ironically, that's funny. I didn't know that was Ed Sheeran. Remember how I said, it all starts to blur into one. This is a perfect example. I have no idea who the hell did that song. I hate that song with a burning passion. It sounds like...
I loved, because it was one of the first songs that came out in like January of this year. And I loved it for like 3 days until I realized, oh, this is going to be one of those hits. And everyone was listening to it. But of course that's going to be...
This is the hip-hop / R&B bullshit where...
That's not hip-hop and R&B at all.
No, but I'm saying it's the same thing where...
Yeah.
Would this be considered as pop, maybe? I don't know what you even generalize
I would call it pop.
Yeah.
It's pop.
But I'm saying it's that whole thing of a crowd pleaser where it all ends up being the same shit. You know?
So here's what I think is more relevant to us. The top 10 audio streams. I'll just go through 5,
yes.
Okay? Number 1, Ed Sheeran's Shape of You.
Kill myself.
Number 2, Kendrick's Humble.
That makes sense.
Number 3, Future's Percocets. Mask off.
Fuck it, mask. I hate that song, but it's funny, so I can say Molly Percocets.
Number 4, Despacito. And number 5, Migos' Bad and Bougie.
This is why I hate the music industry so much.
But I mean, R&B is killing... Oh, here's another fun thing. I'm sorry, this is going on long, but this is so interesting. Top 10 vinyl albums sold.
Hipsters.
Number 1, Beatles' Sgt. Pepper.
Still?
Yeah.
I'm down because that album is fantastic.
Yeah. This is like getting a direct like line into how hipsters are. The soundtrack for La La Land.
No, stop. Stop, no.
I'm going to keep going. The soundtrack for Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's just nerds.
Awesome Mix Volume 1. Okay, but these are people who bought it on vinyl. And it's 9,000 less than the people who bought Sgt. Pepper.
Jesus Christ.
Beatles' Abbey Road. Ed Sheeran.
Is Ed Sheeran on here?
Ed Sheeran, like, his album, Divide, is the newest album on this list. Get the fuck back on Twitter. Stop being a little bitch.
Divide? That's like,
That's Ed Sheeran's album. That's what Shape of You just came off of.
Okay.
Yeah, so, like, that's the newest best-selling vinyl album right now. Yeah. Let's see what else is really interesting in here. No, that's pretty much it. Like, Kendrick's killing, Drake's killing. Oh, no. Top album consumption. Damn is number one, most consumed album.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Ed Sheeran's number two with Divide. I'm so glad Kendrick's over Ed Sheeran.
Yes,
at least in this metric. More Life from Drake, 24K Magic by Bruno Mars, Culture by Migos, Starboy by The Weeknd, and then Future's killing it, and unfortunately Chainsmokers coming in at number nine, showing that there is no hope for music consumption in the world.
This is all so garbage. It's so rough.
Are you ready to go for Tyler, the Creator?
Yeah, please, because this is going to get me, like, this is upsetting me, the music stats, because people, the general audience doesn't know shit. It's like public TV or Latin American.
Public TV isn't like public access TV?
No, I was about to go off where it's okay. Or the Latin American public, to where they get lied to by the mainstream media and everything. They don't know shit. It's the same thing. The general public of music.
Oh, like
it's just as bad.
You're saying the Latin American public is being lied to by the media?
Hell yeah, I am. The hell?
No, I'm agreeing with you, but you're saying only the Latin American public?
No, it's everybody, but especially them. Like, they don't know anything, which is sad.
Right.
But it's hella big there, compared to us. Because at least us as in the U.S., that's what I call us. The U.S. Because
it's always us versus them, really.
Yeah, I'm German, I don't care. I listen to ZAF, all right?
I was on ZAF.
I know you were.
Your boy was on
ZAF. And
I
was really weird, because you speak German, to hear you dubbed in German. And I go, this is really freaking weird to hear you
dubbed. But enough about jerking each other off.
Yeah. that's people here, they just get the top 40 bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
But I got to stop, because I'm going off. And
yeah.
I'm way too passionate.
And I'll have to repair your career sometime.
Yeah, I'm way too passionate about that. So
Tyler, the Creator's albums... which is the full name of the album is Scumfuck Flower Boy. And there's been a lot of controversy around this because... Tyler, the Creator... I mean, we've talked about this last episode. Tyler, the Creator doesn't have the greatest history with topics of, like, sexism and homosexuality. Although, apparently, he's kind of coming out with, like, songs
supposedly.
Like these, other songs. But, like... As always, like I did with Lana, and I'm going to continue that conversation really fast as well, music fucking first. So,
yes,
the
please,
album itself is Tyler, the Creator's best album since Goblin, I would say. In my opinion.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. It's a big evolution. It still sounds like it has Tyler, the Creator's sort of, like, production, the way the kind of, like, muffled snare drums in the background... these kind of, like, airy piano tunes, I guess, that is signature for Tyler.
Where's the rap flute?
Yeah. No rap.
No rap flute. Right.
No, but yeah, it has that signature sound. Doesn't sound old yet, which is good. They kept it sounding fresh in that way, production-wise. I did an interesting thing with this album that I don't normally do, maybe just because I was trying to be extra careful, but I was reading along with the lyrics as I was listening to the album.
That's interesting.
Which is weird. As for someone who, like, loves rap a lot, I don't pay super close attention to the lyrics. Like, to me, I always pay attention to the instrumentals with all music, and then lyrics come second. But with rap, that's obviously different because so much of the genre is about the lyrics. But I paid really close attention because, like, Tyler, the Creator, is under a lot of scrutiny. There's a lot of, like, stuff going on with his opinions and thoughts. But the album as a whole, it's got, wow, just so many collaborators. ASAP Rocky, I believe, is on here. Frank Ocean, just to name a few. Every single song on this album has, like, some collaboration of some kind. Right. It doesn't show that in Spotify, but, like, it's there.
All right, disclosure.
Disclosure?
No, I said okay, disclosure, because...
Oh, yeah.
Careful.
Right.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing this...
Yeah, I was literally about to say that as you did that. It's... a lot of artists are doing this where it's like, all right, hey, let's take everybody out know from music industry. Let's make an album together. So that's why I have a hot take on that. I don't know if you want me to go on a hot take.
Let's save that for next episode.
You know what? That's good.
We have a lot of...
I have to write this down now.
No, yeah. Put that down under the questions thing on the doc while I fill the viewer's airwaves.
Go. I'm typing.
Yes. So, No, there are a lot of songs on this album I like genuinely really enjoyed. I think I Ain't Got Time was one of my favorite ones. And yeah, Tyler the Creator, he's not going for as many like shock jock lyrics as he is. And because of that, you're not distracted by, wait, did he really say that? Or like, why did he really say that? You kind of get to see what I think a lot of people were trying to say, is that Tyler the Creator is actually a very gifted lyricist. He's really good at like putting words and ideas and thoughts together in a kind of way. I'm not saying, I mean, you're making a comparison, but like kind of the same way Eminem had a really good way of telling stories and being very vivid with his descriptions. Tyler, the Creator, is very vivid and can tell stories that like really well with his words. He's got that talent. Before, he's being very vivid with like these super crude things. And I guess to an extent, that's why Eminem got a lot of shit. But, with this, there's less of that distraction, I guess, and so you can really see Tyler's kind of talent shine out through this. And so overall, I came from the album like with a pretty good opinion of it, but what's your take from it musically, from what you heard?
It's...
You like rap less, so it's going to be different for you.
I do like rap less. It's okay. I'll say that. It's not bad. It's not mumble. Thank Christ.
Yeah.
But it does sound... some, like, you know what? I do agree with you. I think it's one of his best or better works, I should say. Sounds like him for sure.
But it doesn't sound like
this, but it's not.
It doesn't sound like he's overdoing himself.
He's not trying too hard. If that makes sense with it.
No, yeah. I think this is his clearest work ever.
And is he coming out or what? Like,
let's have the fun conversation.
Is he slinging dick on the side or nah? Like, what's he doing?
I really don't know. And there's this larger point that, like, let's just go to like a basic human fact. It's the old, like, Boy Who Cried Wolf story. You're not going to be reputable and people aren't going to believe you if you have this history of like being outlandish for the sake of being outlandish, for the sake of attention. People are not going to like believe you at face value. So when Tyler says he's gay now, how am I supposed to believe that as much as some of the things he said earlier in his career with the opinions that he has? And yeah. His brand is this like kind of wild child thing, right? So he is a provocateur. He's going to say things to get headlines. It's a very easy like publicity thing to say, oh, I did this. On the other hand, like maybe he is gay. Does that really matter? I mean, the whole point of the whole like movement towards marriage equality and all these things are that...
So that it shouldn't matter.
Yeah, it shouldn't matter. And it shouldn't be a big deal. I think it's a big deal with Tyler. I mean, I know it's a big deal with Tyler because he has this big history of...
being sane,
super, like, homophobic
it.
To, like, yeah. the most, like, vulgar degree
and
can
degree.
In music.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? And so the reason why I want to bring Lana Del Rey back into this is because if I can go to Lana Del Rey really fast, there was this article in The Ringer that was written by Lindsay Zoldas, where she kind of talks about Lana Del Rey's transformation from being this, like, Americana idol, like, I'll put this picture in the description as well, of, like, she's holding this flag and has people shooting guns behind her, and like, this is America, yay! And then...
My president's black, my Lambo is blue.
Yeah. I'll read from a paragraph. This is a jarring pivot. In the past, and this is from the Ringer article.
Okay.
Del Rey has been avowedly apolitical. For example, when she was asked in 2014 if she considered herself a feminist, she gave one of the most memorable deflections in recent celebrity history. Quote, I'm more interested in, you know, SpaceX and Tesla. What's going to happen with our intergalactic possibilities? Whenever people bring up feminism, I'm like, God, I'm just really not that interested.
Whoa, that's hot take. That's a super hot take.
That's not a hot take.
No, it's a joke.
I'm
joking.
Okay.
You went right over your head.
You're about to rev up the engines, dude. Like, I take everything seriously, and maybe that's my problem.
I didn't know she said that.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool, but really stupid.
In an interview with Pitchfork, Del Rey said that Donald Trump's election had caused her to rethink her relationship to women's issues, among other things. Quote, women started to feel less safe under this administration instantly. Now when people ask me those questions, I feel a little differently.
It's the woke culture, and that's what we're getting back to.
So, I'm not going to get into... Maybe this is just, like, deep into the woke culture conversation, But I'm so sick of this, and this Lana Del Rey is a perfect example of Americans who, like, don't care about things unless they feel like it directly affects them.
Yep.
Or they don't care about things unless they think it can, like, win them brownie points. Because, think about this, like, for, like, woke culture, for better or worse, makes it a positive thing when artists come out and speak out on these different issues, right? It makes it good to where, oh, you're talking about, like, gay issues or mental health or, like, race and, like, it's celebrating these things. Whereas culture beforehand, maybe even as early as 2014, didn't celebrate those things. Her managers would have been like, hey, yo, you got albums to sell, you gotta stay down the middle, you gotta stay out of politics.
Yeah.
Like, now being in politics is cool, which people like me and my day job, we like that stuff because we want people to be engaged. We want people to make a difference. We want people to, like,
voice their opinions.
Voice their opinions.
What they want to do.
I mean, I kind of really hate when people voice their opinions lately because they're not all, like, informed, but I want people to get informed, and I want people to get interested and, like, think about changes and discuss changes and things like that, right? So, and then on the other hand, I'm sick of people just, like,
pretending that they know when they don't at all, or,
like, or pretending that they care when they don't at all.
Yeah, this is a perfect example of, with this whole idiot in office becoming a thing where now a lot of people have, like, oh, like, let's rise up who don't know what they're talking about. It's like, I don't care what side you're on, as long as you know what you're talking about.
Right,
and
yeah.
So many people have become, I'm doing air quotes, woke from this. A lot of artists now have been doing that, and it's like, you're just shooting the shit.
Well, to go to your point about, like, wokeness, because that's a left kind of term. That's an idea, like, yeah, oh, you're woke, so you're very, like, left, right? But, like, just, this is the problem on the right, where people have, like, people don't know what they're talking about with politics, but decide they want to chip in because now all of a sudden interested.
It's the same, yeah. And that goes for a lot more. I guess actually just famous people in general.
Yeah.
Because now they're seeing what's going on in politics. Like, this has been going on for
a long time. That's my thing. It's like, yo, I've been covering fucking politics since, like, 2010, basically. Since I was, like, in fucking middle or high school. I've been, like, researching this stuff and learning about this shit. Why are you just now coming on the train? It must be because you realize it's a fame thing for you. Because clearly you don't give that much of a fuck.
Because, and a lot of it, too, is, well, oh shit, we can't, this isn't politics podcast.
Go ahead. This is a pass.
So I can dive in. Oh, man.
Woof!
So it's just the American public being brainwashed. You know, a lot of the times, the younger generation before was not very active in politics.
You
know, they're like, I don't want to deal with it. You know, it doesn't affect me, or it's,
or like,
or it's too above me,
anyways.
Nothing will change anyways, you know,
nothing
I don't want to do it. And now the past, like, year, it's like, oh, out of nowhere, it just shifted. And a lot of celebrities have been the same position before, where they're like, they're neither on the right or the left.
Apolitical.
They don't care, apolitical. And now out of nowhere, it's like, oh, look, oh, or they'll pretend that they have chosen, like, they pretend that they're part of a side or something. It's like, no, you said this shit against it, like, the year before. I'm just being super general.
Generalizing, and because you can be brainwashed and, like, apolitical on any side of the political spectrum, per se. Brainwashed in the sense of, I think what you were trying to say, and correct me if you're wrong, is that, like, is the sense of you don't really care what happens either way.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Not really going for it.
It's because you're like, you know, I don't, it's not going to affect me. Or you go the Vince Staples route and you say, tell the 1% to suck a dick because we own you.
Which I fucking love, personally.
Because now, but that guy knows what he's talking about.
Vince Staples woke as fuck. He's our age, and he's like, tell the 1% to suck a... Okay, anyways, last point on this.
Let's keep going.
I'm also...
Noah Tyler.
No, I'm also... Well, same thing. He could, like... It's very possible that he's playing on this thing of, oh, if I come out, that's going to make a lot of interest in my work. I mean, it's hard because he also, like... His persona, and what I think he kind of is as a person, is someone who's, like, kind of lonely, who, like, is kind of figuring out his emotions, kind of an introvert, really.
I guess.
And maybe this, like, is his coming out. But, like, A, I don't know whether to believe you or not, because everything else you said was just so much shit. You have a lot more, like, you have a lot more processing to do in public about everything you did if we're really going to believe that you've taken this pivot or you've made this turn. B, I don't know if I'm... I worry that I'm being too hard on these people because... What I hate about the far left, personally, are the people who are like, oh, you aren't as woke as me? I'm going to ostracize you for that. Which I think I'm doing a little bit as well. And I think that if you want to invite people to your ideology, whether you're on the left or the right, and someone finally has an awakening on your side, you should welcome them in and say, like, meet people where they're at, rather than, like, bashing them. But at the same time, I mean, I also kind of, and this isn't an opinion I'm evolving on a lot, I kind of don't mind some of the ostracization for, like, being too late to get on top of these things, or only realizing it affects you when, or only realizing it's a problem and it affects you, because that, along with, like, quote-unquote woke culture, sends a signal that it's not cool to be dumb. It's not cool to be disengaged. It's pretty fucking annoying to be disengaged, because that means you don't care about things unless they affect you, which is one of the most annoying human aspects to me. So I don't know if I should even be angry or upset that Lana Del Rey is not as woke as me.
No, it's just, it's interesting to see with celebrities culture with it. You know? And that affects music in a way, because then with music, it becomes more political. It becomes more social.
Music is, so, like all art, it's an expression of culture and politics and all these different aspects of life.
Yeah, and especially now lately, it's been very heavily on culture and politics. So
it could be, it could, for Lana and Tyler, it could be what they really believe. It could be publicity. It could just be that there was way late to the train. I really don't know how to, like...
Anyways.
Okay, so for this segment, I wanted to do something a little bit special. I brought on Caesar from Audio... Wow, I cannot get my names right.
From Audio Face.
No. I'm going to restart that.
Big transfer news. Caesar traded from Audio Face for 10 million euros.
You know what? Let's just keep going. I don't care. From the Syndicate 23 Network, it is Caesar from We Made It.
WMI, what up?
Hello. How you doing?
I'm sensational on this beautiful Saturday morning.
Wonderful. And we get to see Sean get cuckolded out of his own podcast.
Yes.
Sitting off
Sean, mic. You're out of here. That was mine.
It's like, you know how at jobs when they have you, like, train your temp who turns out to be your replacement? This is about what's going to happen.
Yeah, I took Sean's chair and placed on a chair. I'm taking over, man.
He's stretching out, too. Like, he's rearranging.
Look, he's recording his own demise
this
right now.
This is the power move right now. You're people off camera, or, like, people who don't, obviously, everyone's off camera, really, but, like, people who aren't me don't realize that Sean uses Snapchat approximately 6 times while we're recording the podcast at any given time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd do it when we're just, like, messing around or anything, too.
Yeah, there are a couple times where you're just, like, vamping off. But anyways, because we're actually doing this live now. This is the live part. So I wanted to bring you on because you're a token, pretty much. There's a lot of news in the sense of, why are black people still like this?
Kevin Hart, Usher, R. Kelly.
Yeah,
guys. It's a rough week to this week, man.
Yeah, like, this is not a
black
good
entertainment's
week.
Having a tough week.
I mean, BET's probably having a field day. But
oh, yeah.
Like,
Viacom is loving this.
Yeah, but there's a lot of interesting things. One thing, I didn't get to talk about this last week, but this is about DMX. There's a saying over at the We Made It podcast on the Syndicate 23 Network, and that saying is...
Bleep yourself.
No.
Love yourself.
No.
We Made a Podcast is a very positive organization, and we only promote positivity within the black community.
That saying is pay your taxes.
Oh, okay. All right.
This is the second, there's two phrases.
Whoops.
Bleep yourself and kill, then pay your taxes.
Okay.
Kill your taxes.
I know, We Made a Podcast, we pay your taxes, and we love each other. Anybody who's listened to our show knows this, man.
We Made It as the Sesame Street of podcasts, really. It's just all about teaching people kindness
and
love.
Minus the illegal allegations. What?
Wait. Quick question. If Seth Blatter was a Sesame Street animal.
Oh. He, on a bad day, he's Oscar. On a good day, he's Big Bird. But Big Bird was kind of like, I don't know. He was suspicious. I didn't like him when I was a kid. Sounds weird about that big guy.
I just imagine FIFA press conferences with, like, Big Bird just, like, signing documents looking suspicious.
That'd be an acid trip if I ever heard of one.
Oh, I actually had an acid. Anyways. All right. So DMX is being arrested for tax evasion. He withheld $1.7 million in tax earnings, according to the district attorney in New York.
$1.7
million.
That's it. $300 million.
All things considered,
that's baby money.
Caesar.
NPR.
It happens. Sometimes you circled the D instead of the F, and you didn't minus F from G on part 37 of A on the 1099.
Caesar, here's the thing: you're broke, so your taxes are easy.
Very true.
The problem is that
he's broke too.
He's about to be.
Yeah.
Listen, the IRS, whatever you say, they always will get their money.
It's very true.
Yeah.
Anyways, but apparently DMX had this orchestrated scheme where he, A, maintained a mostly cash lifestyle, which is kind of baller. Go up to the Ferrari dealership and it's like 78K, 20, 40, 60, 80.
Just like on Cradle to the Grave, 60, I love 82. It. Yes.
So he paid it for a lot of things in cash and he set up other accounts to pay for other expenses.
You're telling me crackhead DMX was out here setting up a scheme? No way. His brain cells are too gone to do all that. I don't believe it.
And there's, have you seen the video? You haven't seen the video. So there's this video that I will like play here where basically DMX is going to rap outside of his court appearance. And
no. Why are you doing this, man?
It's a sight to behold.
It's hurting my heart.
Let's do it.
We do what we with Mary, get you out of jail in a hurry when the government's trying to bury you. Good. Early.
You do your song. You're telling me this man who just did two lines is making a
hurry when the government's trying to bury you. Good. Early.
Okay, you know what? If I'm a defendant, I'd be like, look, on behalf of DMX, did you guys just see him rap outside? You think he can come up with all this? Someone back there is setting him up.
It's rigged.
It's rigged. They want to see DMX fall. This is the week of the black entertainer to fall. And this is the beginning, the domino effect.
Well, A, this happened last week.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it was a Sunday.
Well, let's jump into it, because you mentioned this really fast. Mm-hmm. Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
He was caught, apparently, at leaving a club in Miami with another woman. It was just weird, because he's like, he's his family man, he works all the time.
Yeah, he's live streaming all the time on Facebook that he's with his family.
So it turns out Black Tyrion pulls.
Whew, Black Tyrion. That first episode was so sus. But anyways, let's not get into that. I go all day about that.
No, but like, I'm only including it as a slight mention, just because, like, It doesn't look
it's weak
like
to
it,
me.
It doesn't look as bad as it really does.
Maybe it's his third cousin, twice removed. Who knows, man? Damn. Maybe he's giving her a ride. Maybe what if she was really drunk? He was giving a ride home as an upstanding citizen. We don't know this. We assume the worst out of people. We made a podcast that promotes love and unity and peace. Nah, man, he's probably out there wilding out, got caught. What an idiot.
You spend
next. There you go.
Dude, you spend stories so well. I really think you should be Trump's next press secretary.
Sean Spicer got nothing on me. Especially, he's not as fobby as me. They won't mess all the words up like me either.
Let's do some tests. Donald Trump says he can pardon himself. Don't you think this is a breach of power?
No one used bleach in the colored clothes. What are you talking about? Next. That's how you followed up.
Let's just send this recording as an interview. Just going like, hey, White House press secretary, let's go. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Okay, next, let's have fun.
Let's do it. Let's get it.
Robert Kelly.
Roberto. Oh, man.
Robert Kelly has been accused of, I'll just read the consequence of sound headline, holding women in a multi-state sex cult.
Oh.
The R&B
allegedly.
Singer, allegedly. The R&B singer allegedly controls the eating habits, bathing attire, sleep schedules, and sexual activities of six women, including recording videos of them, showing them to his friends. Apparently there's two locations, one in Atlanta, one in Chicago. This is all being reported from BuzzFeed News. Now, Caesar, you have opinions on R. Kelly.
So does BuzzFeed. I'm just saying. Right. What?
But, no. What do you bring into this, and what do you make of this, personally?
There's few people in the world who love R. Kelly more than me, other than R. Kelly. Okay? And the chicks that obviously in his cult that he brainwashed.
Allegedly.
That are all good people, probably. I don't know about this article. I can't believe I'm reading into BuzzFeed articles. It's kind of wild right now, because normally I just like watching, you know, hot foods from Mexico. No,
normally
stuff,
you get your news from tasty videos on Facebook and World Star Hip Hop.
Yes, or like, oh, how do white people feel eating Mexican food? And like that from BuzzFeed. But this is new. It's allegedly, it makes me uncomfortable, along with many allegations he had in the past. Peeing on women, Aaliyah, 15 years old. But the man makes hits.
That's not any exception.
Who's the last artist to record with Lady Gaga and Biggie in their lifetime?
I mean,
and pee on girls. That's terrible. Right?
None of this is even defensible at all. And so you haven't
exactly.
You haven't read the article, and you're still like kind of questioning.
No, I read the article. It's disgusting.
But
it's atrocious.
Did you see the one of the alleged captives speaking out to TMZ?
Yeah, did you see? Yeah, and then they also talked to the girl who said she texted her parents back. I'm good. Thanks.
That's the one.
Bye.
That's the one.
I'm okay. Bye. Don't. I'm good. Thanks, parents. Been a year. Love you. Bye.
No.
Me and Kel send you love yous. Bye. She talked more.
Very heartbroken of what's going on with this situation.
Yeah.
You know, me having to deal with this and me being 22, it's just, you know, it's just not right. So I haven't spoken to them mainly in about 5 to 6 months, really, on and off. I mean, they'll, you know, text me from time to time, but I haven't really wanted to speak to them because of what they're doing.
Perturbed. Are you currently in Georgia or where are you?
Wait, hold. So Caesar's face is very perturbed right now, but let's listen to the rest of the TMZ interview really fast. And I want to see your reaction.
They're doing.
Are you currently in Georgia or where are you?
I'm not.
Huh?
I wouldn't want to speak on that.
She a Mars? What was
are
that
you
answer?
With other roommates? Are you free to go from where you are?
No, I want to speak on that as well.
Oh God, I'm so comfortable. Please, Jesus Christ. R. Kelly, come on, man.
Oh God. So
we go from brain cell dead male to genius master mind manipulator.
Let's not glorify
R&B
this.
Legend. I'm not glorifying him. That's mind manipulator is not a compliment unless you're like Professor
X. Genius.
I mean he's a musical genius. No, but it's honestly like it only shows like how much of a piece shit he is as a person, and it's disgusting.
But like after seeing that video, I mean like it's pretty bad.
No,
like
that video, I'm not gonna lie, that made me very uncomfortable. Like
good.
Seeing her go, I'm not gonna speak on that. Why? Where are you? Like Guantanamo? Like what was this?
No, the TMZ should have asked, blink twice if you're in trouble.
That'd be so gangster. Oh my God. TMZ will never be that cool in their whole life.
This should have been like a hostage situation.
Blink twice if you're in Atlanta. Blink once if you're in Chicago. Blink three times if you're not in this world.
I mean, no, like in all seriousness, I really like hope that, because it's an odd conversation because they're all allegedly above 18. They're legal. And if
shocking.
They, and if they, yeah, I know for R.
Shocking.
Kelly, it's a strange wow. move.
I guess it's a positive somewhere.
I guess R. Kelly's in the older women now.
Well, you know, good for him. Good for him.
And
cougars,
so,
right?
Yeah, really push grannies pretty much. No, what am I?
It hit you that hard, huh? Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know what to do. Like, I think that nothing make me happier than to see this man get locked up. Like, please go inside. And I don't want to see no prison records. Just stay in there with your little pencil mustache.
You know what
and
they're going
to
do to him
life
in, prison,
in jail. Right? Well, they're probably not going to do anything to him because he's a Pied Piper R&B. But second, if they do something, people forget, R. Kelly's a big guy. He's not like, oh, you know, Usher over here, 5'7", dancing with Bieber. R. Kelly's like a good probably like 6'4", 250. He's a big man.
Oh, my God. While I'm thinking about that, get up the conversations for Usher, because we're going to talk about that in a second. But before I do, I wanted to pull up my surprise R. Kelly article. So while I was doing this extensive research...
Oh, God, I'm scared.
Actually, no.
Extensive research is a dangerous word.
A, to buy you more time, and B, just to like, finish my point, because I remembered it. Like, it's hard because these women could technically be consenting, right? In the court of law.
Technically, you could be like, no, I'm good.
Even though, like, you can say, like, hey, you're... really shouldn't have sex cults. It's kind of like, it's not a good look.
But if the women say,
unless
we can
pay
this,
taxes.
Then, oh my Lord, there's taxes for sex cults?
I mean, there's taxes for Mormonism.
Oh my God, I'm so done. Please go on. Please go on. Please. Please go on.
Anyways, so the surprise R. Kelly article I discovered from the 28th of April, 2017.
Yes.
R. Kelly being sued for allegedly having an affair with Mississippi Sheriff Deputy's wife.
Wait, whoa. What?
Can I show you the picture of the
wait,
article?
Wait, but you can get... That's a great picture. Who, I know who the article is. I love them. But, wait, he's getting sued for adultery.
Yes.
You can get sued for adultery?
Apparently.
Why didn't they tell us that in high school?
I mean...
I feel like I didn't learn anything in school. I didn't. Did you know this?
Can I?
You know you can get sued for adultery. Sean didn't know that.
Can I read you some legal language?
I would love to hear it.
Time after time, R. Kelly cuckolded Bryant with blatant disregard for Bryant and Childress's vows.
Blatant disregard.
Yes.
For vows.
Bryant also alleges Kelly was aware of the marriage. Bryant also alleges Kelly was aware of the marriage and deliberately destroyed it. He seeks damages for quote emotional, psychological, and financial loss.
That's intense. I would love nothing. Can I be a juror there too? Where are all these great? I'm doing jury duty. Where are these cases at, man?
Right.
Well, I'm over here doing a stupid traffic violation. This is over here happening.
Why do they bring out juries for traffic violations?
I have no idea, dude.
Like,
I don't know. We need public opinion because you know public opinion is going to be pro or whatever. I'm not getting into this. Go ahead, go ahead.
All right, Usher baby. It's Usher baby.
I just want to get your attention.
Usher is facing a $10 million lawsuit for exposing women to a woman to herpes. The way the story basically works is that he was engaging with a woman in Atlanta after a club, and the first time they wore a condom. Second time they hooked up, he didn't, and he didn't disclose the fact that he apparently had herpes. And so now this woman is suing for Dr. Evil pinky to mouth Ooh, that's a poor choice of phrasing.
Very.
$10 million.
Pinky to cold sore. What?
Like I saw the crash coming, and then Caesar's just like, let's accelerate.
No, you tried to avoid it. Threw your steering wheel to the right. Let's get it. Try to get this insurance money. Listen, so I want to know this. So they had sex the first time.
Yes.
She's like, oh my God. He has sex all the time. He's totally clean.
R. Kelly isn't here.
Yeah, R. Kelly. Dude, first of all.
Atlanta, a place that R. Kelly's never heard
hashtag
of.
Hashtag look up scene girl meme. Yeah. So they had sex the first time. She thinks he's super clean, blah, blah, blah. You know, he had sex like 100 million times in his life. They had sex again, raw dog. But the first time he didn't tell her he had herpes. You know, they had raw dog next time, and then she had herpes from that.
Yes.
Wow. $10 million?
Yes.
That's hilarious. You think you're getting $10 million? Usher does not have $10 million at all.
For,
if he does, it's from Bieber. Woo! Well, I mean, he discovered him, right? He signed him.
Hey, I mean, that's how the industry works.
I'm uncomfortable. Keep going.
You said you're how old? 18? We'll go with 18.
Yeah.
Oh, anyways, God. So let's just say that Usher Raymond IV is being sued for negligence, battery, and emotional distress.
Where's the battery? What is this? Kobe Bryant? What happened?
I don't know where the battery is. I'm not going
to. Maybe really the battery was much. Him trying to put the condom on. She's like, nah.
I don't know. We'll see this in the court of public opinion, but also
I will not
court.
See it. But I wait for the article.
I'll wait for BuzzFeed to. I
wait for BuzzFeed to drop more bars for me every week about black entertainers falling apart.
It's like 10 Latino women cooking while talking about Usher's.
Yeah, right? BuzzFeed, I love it. Keep it coming with the weird videos. Let's go.
What are some Usher lyrics that can? Please read us some Usher lyrics, because apparently Usher's made some new lyrics to kind of commemorate this moment.
Don't leave your girl around me. Green dick like a little, like a dill pickle penis for real. Shawty, I don't mind. this discharge is green. Still raw dog my wee. I'm not going to say who wrote this, but genius writer also.
They may also be a host on the We Made a Podcast.
Allegedly. Once again, We Made a Podcast takes no responsibility for this. All alleged claims.
It's a G-rated podcast.
G-rated.
Actually.
Gangsta. Yeah, I'm not reading the rest of these.
I will.
No, please don't. Okay, here goes. Okay, this one's rough. You can twerk all in a split. Cream cheese coming out this day. I'm done.
Never mind.
I'm done.
All right. Usher baby. And lastly, this has nothing to do with music, but since we're already in
these
the hood.
These are terrible. Sorry, go ahead. What do you mean in the hood? Loose. Who's in the hood?
The juice is loose.
OJ the Juice Man, the legend.
Like, I mean, we're back at this. I can't believe that we were, like, my office just stood still and we're all watching the OJ case again. I'm like, why is this happening again?
Because he's a legend.
why are we so... Okay, you're a little bit older than me. Explain the... tell me, Mr. Jigaman, the story of OJ.
Basically, if you haven't watched the 85 documentaries and you have not watched the 250 documentaries on ESPN and Netflix...
30 for 30.
The man, 30 for 30s, everything. He has his court case everywhere, even in his book, If I Did It, which was infamously not published.
I remember that.
That was awesome. The man escaped murder. And now, the reason he got locked up, I'm not upset about him being freed because he was holding captive a man who he claims stole his memorabilia from his playing days and kind of like jugged him out of it, like, you know, like played him out of all his stuff, like, you know, like robbed him of it. And it was not giving back his playing stuff, memorabilia is worth millions. So he went to jail because he can't hold humans captive in America and some countries I'm not going to name. So
he R.
got,
Kelly.
Yeah, exactly. So he got arrested for that. He's going to do 9 years of parole. Like, I mean, it's all good. What is he going to do? He's going to go to Florida. He's going to kick back at a leisure world, have all kind of crazy sex, and have a good time. Who cares?
And maybe kill someone.
Probably not, because 9 years of parole, I don't think he wants to go back and just rot in jail. I just chill out at a leisure world
Once
and have a good time.
Once you said that the first time?
He didn't kill somebody the second time. Okay? Stop that.
If I did it again.
I want to read that book.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. I was literally looking for this quote. Thank you, Sean's mom, for giving me this.
Oh, no.
OJ Simpson's quote to the parole board.
Oh, no. Please,
I lived
God.
A pretty conflict-free life. And he said it like, I've lived a pretty conflict-free life. No, and he's, I remember because Jim Rome was like, conflict-free life.
Like a serious face?
He just said it like a serious face, but he could barely get out the word free because I feel like he was laughing under himself. Like, I've lived a pretty conflict-free life.
Wow. I mean, there's no telling the man is probably has some serious mental issues. I mean, we can always do some CTE when he dies. Check out that brain, what's going on in that brain.
We're going to realize that football is such a bad
look,
idea.
If anybody's watched OJ highlights and clips, the man was a truck. He was a little...
You might say he was a Bronco.
He was a whole god. Oh, man, audio face does not play. What car makes you more uncomfortable as a colored male than seeing a Ford Bronco pull up?
White. Ford Excursion.
He'd be like, I don't know if I'm in the right parking lot. This Ford Bronco parked here next to my hybrid.
I'm going to get a car and put the license plate Bronco.
Yeah, don't do that.
So do you know why I pulled you over today? Let me guess.
No. Ooh. How come the Bronco doesn't get pulled over? Come on now. Confederate flag on the top. Anyways, continue that. But, I mean, OJ did own a Bronco. I'm confused now. I'm lost, but
as you were saying, conflict-free life.
Yeah,
you're watching his sports head.
I guess he doesn't consider murder conflict. That's interesting.
Allegedly,
I mean, alleged murder. He didn't murder her, obviously, because the court deemed it not guilty. He was holding a man captive and kidnapping. That's not conflict, dude. It's crazy.
That's not conflict. That's resolution.
Yep.
That's like, hey, two guys get in an argument, they work it out.
Can they have a Wentworth OJ? You know. Edition? Whoa. That'd be sick. Who wouldn't want to watch OJ in prison? That'd be dope. I would.
The OJ reality show?
Yes.
Let's just...
They got security cameras in there. Why can't we just watch? It's already...
Because...
The prison system is already like a slave system. Why can't we just watch it too?
Because we're not that brazen turn prison into a reality TV show yet.
We're good on paying people 10 cents an hour, but hey, watching it, whoa.
Hey, have you ever seen MSNBC's Lockup?
Yeah, the edited lockup, it's great.
There's the Rachel Maddow show, and then there's Lockup.
Yeah, the best part, oh, man, these prison guards have a crush on the female guard. Hey, honey, I'm like, this is so corny. I want to see some wild stuff like Wentworth. Where's the burning prisons exploding? Where's Australian prisons?
So I got two questions for you.
Yes.
When is OJ going to come out with his own line of gloves?
Oh, my God. Well, you know they all don't fit, so that's a good part. It's like when you get some Adidas, like you don't get the size you're supposed to be, you get the size above because they're not gonna fit you. So they're probably gonna be sponsored by Adidas.
Second
OJX Adidas collab is coming.
No, OJ Nike.
By way of Dortmund.
I think Nike's more his brand.
No. It's
New Balance.
New Balance? Oh my Lord.
Second question, who do you think OJ is gonna pick for his running mate in 2020?
Oh my God! If he runs, I'm not registered to vote. Yeah, blow me up, kill me, whatever on the email on the internet about this. But I would definitely register if OJ's running because hey, why not? We're all falling apart. Let's keep it going, right?
How about OJ the Rock?
OJ the Rock? That's complete polar opposite humans.
So are Trump Pence.
One did a Disney movie, man. Like four. One played like a tooth fairy.
Didn't OJ do like a voiceover in some cartoon?
I don't know. I know he did his own voice before in cartoons.
Yeah. OJ Simpson's played voice in cartoons before, I'm sure.
What if OJ Simpson was a voice in Proud Family? How disappointed would we all be? What if wouldn't we all get sad about that? I would. I'd be like, oh, come on. Like Proud Family was a great. No, that'd be awesome if he was on Boondocks. Yeah, that would different. Make sense. That'd be like, amazing. Proud
Family's Disney.
But Disney, ESPN Disney having OJ, that'd be great. Oh my God.
The Proud Family, 30 for 30, featuring OJ Simpson.
Look, man, what's the weather guy from Good Morning America? The black guy.
I'm sorry, I don't watch TV.
If that guy get a Proud Family, anybody can. You guys know what I'm talking about. Whatever.
Totally fair. Yeah. Is that?
That should be it.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty much everything else. So, long story short, we've gotten from this segment. Black people have been knocked back 10 years.
Yes, this week was a vicious attack.
First
of all, knocked back 10 years.
By the line media.
10 years. What was it, 2008? 2007?
Never mind, 15.
2007 was cool. It was a good year.
15.
Okay, we can talk about that. No, 2003 was the best hip-hop year of all time. No, 06 was. I'm down. I'm over it. Go ahead.
We should have an extended conversation about this another time, but thank you for joining me on this enlightening conversation.
You just
about,
shut me up.
The future of America. I'm cutting you off. I'm cutting you off. I'm taking your mic. A few months later, we're going to have a little conflict.
Yeah, don't present this in court. One of all the stuff I said, please don't use this.
If I did it.
Yeah. I still want that book.
Thank you very much for Caesar. Where can people find you?
You guys can find us on social media. We Made It Podcast. We're all on there. Every single social media except for the ones that don't matter. Look us up. We're there.
I was trying
we're
to
live.
Find We Made It
we're
on
talking.
LinkedIn. Why are you on LinkedIn?
I'm on LinkedIn, but don't look me up unless you got a great job offer that pays more than $16 an hour. So I'm on LinkedIn. We're everywhere. Look us up. Interact. My phone's broken. Bam's reply to everything. Have fun. Enjoy his wild tweets this week. I'm not tweeting. Have fun.
Yeah. We Made It Podcast, best soccer podcast.
Like, WMI.
I literally tried listening to some other soccer podcasts.
Oh God,
garbage.
I was watching one called Men in Blazers. Why are they doing golf coverage? I don't get it.
And their golf coverage is.
Look, We Made It Podcast do golf coverage if it's 10 million. That's it. Cash, untaxed.
For business inquiries, please email info at syndicate23.com.
Yeah, info. CC me, please, on the business inquiries.
BCC me.
Yeah, BCC everybody.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, y'all. Thank you.
We're done.
Yes.
We did 10 episodes. We
did 10
good.
Episodes. We did good. Did you like this podcast so far? Do you like what
we're doing? I hate it. Stop listening. No, it's just fun.
No, I really liked we were able to have these like flushed out music conversations weekly because A, I get to see your beautiful face every week.
Pause.
And secondly, no, I like by talking out a lot of the things that we kind of agree on, I can now explain to other people how I feel about certain types of music. Because like
it's a good way to because that way you can explain.
Instead of
to
saying
people,
samey, I can say look how these aspects of music are repetitive. Or like just earlier today, that epiphany we had where we talked about how you can. Because of how quickly the R&B and like hip hop industry moves,
they just tap out content.
That changes how the music sounds because other genres take longer times making the album, so you get more differentiation in the sound sometimes. But yeah. Like those are things I would have never been able to explain then. I would love to do more music recommendations, and I would love to just have more like us going off on different things. I think that's fucking hilarious. So we should definitely do that, and I think we'll do that a lot in episode 11. Because this one went for fucking ever.
Yeah, that's just...
Right, so let's just wrap the fucker up. Thanks for listening. Happy 10 episodes. Another podcast that had 10 episodes recently is the official, actual We Made It podcast.
Not this fake
now featuring 300% more air horn. You can listen to that you can listen to that every week, also on the Syndicate 23 Network. Thank you so much, Sean, for joining me. Caesar, for also joining me in this podcast. Depends on how this is edited, but we'll go with it. And yeah, we'll see. see you all next week. Don't forget to follow us on social shit. Twitter, I'm Dan from the web. Instagram, I'm Dan from the internet. Sean.
SW Suarez with Henry.
Yep. Tinder, LinkedIn, School Loop.
School Loop.
Platform.
Yep.
Canvas.
Just pull a hand right now.
Hit him up. GeoCities.
Cerritos.edu.
Dude, keep that yourself. We're out. Stop.
All right, cheers.
So what if we start a beef?
Rap beef.
Start a rap beef.
What?
What if we start a podcast beef?
Podcast beef. We first podcast beef.
Hey, you know what? That'd be a good, like,
it's good for the brand.
That'd be a good marketing gimmick.